Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster on the Extra Hour. Joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you missed the first hour, my goodness, you got to catch the first hour. We talked again about the importance of the Fourth Amendment and gave you some background as to why it's important today and what our founding fathers learned and the experiences that they went through, namely King George thinking that he can, you know, send his soldiers to go into people's homes and look for this stamp that they were supposed to pay, right, this tax, and put on every item that they had. So the soldiers were able to write their own search warrant and walk right on in.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is wisdom. The Fourth Amendment's in there for a reason, and you can't be lax about it. And we can't be willing to, you know, there's always this other idea that, well, for protection purposes, so that we can be safe, we need to give up some rights. It's like, well, I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? We just need to trust God. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just need to trust God. I don't know about giving up no rights. You know, their rights are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And who's to say that, you know, because one thing is working right under one administration, that the next administration or the next group of people that are in charge are not going to abuse that. But you just take one person. I mean, if one person's rights are just violated, I mean, you would think differently. You know, if it's yourself, you may say, well, that's no big deal. Well, let's not think about yourself. Let's think about if it was your mother.
Yeah.
You know, let's think about if it was your daughter. Let's think about if it was your son. You know, let's think if it was your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she was violated. You wouldn't like that. And so that's how we need to look at this. But you don't know what your rights are if you don't open the Constitution. We want to encourage you, get yourself a pocket Constitution. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, you can get one.
That's right.
And begin to read it. Download it on your app. You know, download the app for it. And you can look at it and read it and be aware of it so that you can stand for it. Well, I want to share with you an amazing testimony. I don't know if you guys remember this. I have talked about it from time to time, but I had the chance some time ago to have an opportunity to serve as a chaplain at the LSU Medical Center in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went out there for a period of time. I actually lived in Shreveport for a period of time as I was doing this, as I was doing some chaplain work there. And it was an amazing experience. The Lord taught me so many things. And we ministered to so many people. I've learned so much, but and still learning. But one thing that I learned is that how suddenly your life can change.
Mm.
Your life can change in one moment.
In an instant.
In an instant. Mm. And I saw people that had no intentions of coming to the hospital. They had no, it wasn't scheduled, Pat. It was not scheduled to come into the hospital that day.
Right.
But rest assured, they did come in. They did come in because they had accidents.
Mm-hmm.
People hurt them. All sorts of stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I had full access to the hospital. I mean, it was really amazing. If someone came into the ER, I mean, I was right there with the doctors, the medical team. The person's coding, they're about to die, or mm-hmm. they came in with gunshot wounds, or they come in from a car wreck or a bike wreck. And once they took off their garments and they, you know, if it was a man, he looked in the back wallet for his wallet and numbers and business cards, not phones. Phones weren't a big thing back then. It's amazing. Or, you know, you're looking through a woman's purse, let's say, to get a contact number so that you can call the family and let them know, hey, listen, your loved one is here in the hospital. And they've been involved in a serious car wreck or they got hurt, someone attacked them, and you need to come to the hospital. And whether they were alive or dead, you couldn't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
A note to self. And they would come, and you would minister to people in the most broken times. I mean, I walked around totally shredded during that time. In fact, I almost thought I was having a heart attack. They put me on the EKG
machine.
I was walking around with so much continual burden. I didn't have a grid for what I was seeing. I mean, I was there, you know, all day, all night type of stuff. And
wow.
would walk into, it's a beautiful ministry. I mean, it really is a wonderful ministry. And I saw the love of God. I mean, I really, just, God told me, just love them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the love of God and how much God loves people that in their most broken conditions and they were down and out. And oftentimes when someone experienced tragedy, they don't have, they didn't plan for those, have resources for that. And I just saw how people were, you know, sitting in a waiting room, uncomfortable. They won't make them comfortable, you know, in those hard chairs. And, and you sit down next to them and you find out why they're there. And they said, oh, my, you know, my son was on a bike wreck and his head is swelling now. And, you know, they're going to have to drill and release blood out of his skull because it's just, you know, his brain keeps swelling and swelling and swelling. And, oh, my goodness. And, you know, went through the little babies that were born. I mean, I don't know the exact term, but you could fit them in the palm of your hands. They were that small.
Preemies,
yeah. And you'd have to scrub your hands in the special, you know, desensitizing soap and all this stuff. You had to put all these garments in just to go in there. And I'd go in and pray for all these little babies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just beautiful to be able to stand in the gap during that time. Well, when I went to Louisiana, I had the great pleasure. I had no idea who I was staying with, but they made arrangements for me to stay, myself and two other ministers at the time, to stay with Dolores Winder and her husband. I had no idea who Dolores Winder was, except she was a very kind woman who allowed us to stay in her home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was the first one to stay there, and so she wasn't even there to receive me. They sent me the keys into their home. Never met them before a day in my life.
Oh, wow.
I drove up, I don't know, like 12 hours to go there. And there was a note, make yourself at home.
You're kidding.
Never met them before.
Wow.
So I'm sitting in this house going, okie dokie.
That's a faithful woman right there.
And I'm thinking, okie dokie. Yeah. And faithful. Man, that one encounter was an amazing encounter that so affected me and changed my life. One night, so I'm there, and she has all these amazing books, you know, and just all throughout the house, and just I'm just walking around thinking, man, just feel the presence of God here. And this, mm-hmm. Who are these people?
Yeah,
you know, can't wait for them to get there, you know, and you feel weird. It's like, okay, they walk through the door. Hi, I'm home.
In your house.
Yeah, I'm in your house. They were the nicest, nicest folks. And one night, rest of the guys got in, and we got settled, and her and her husband invited us into the living room,
mm-hmm.
And she was an older woman. This was an older couple, and she began to tell us her testimony. I had no idea who this woman was,
mm-hmm.
And as she's telling her testimony and talking about the Holy Spirit so enveloped the living room. I mean, God so, I mean, His presence was just like, it was amazing. You saw three grown men just tearing up while she was talking. I mean, God just was so, just took over the place. It was amazing. It was amazing. And she goes on to tell us her testimony on how she was in a body cast.
Wow.
Could not move, was going to die. And God healed her 100%. This woman went and got the cast. I've seen this because you're about to hear her testimony. You're about to hear Sid Roth interview Dolores Winder. And I'm telling you that I know Dolores Winder. I have stayed in their home. I have seen the body cast that you're going to be able to see on the torch. I've held it. God did a miraculous testimony. And it was amazing. We've talked about God's generals, and we talked about Catherine Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she got healed at a Catherine Coleman event.
Oh, wow.
If you miss God's generals and you don't know who we're talking about, you want to catch that highlight on the torch. Just type in God's generals. And this was a mighty woman of God who was used in the 70s, Catherine Coleman. And many, many, many people were healed during her ministry. In fact, Benny Hinn is a result of her ministry today. And Dolores Winder was amazingly touched. In fact, her story is in a medical book. It was like a huge volume that she pulled off the mantle of their mm-hmm. fireplace
yeah.
and showed. I mean, it's documented with medical things. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it. And you're going to get to hear this amazing testimony. Let me tell you something. There's a power of God is still present today to heal the sick. And God is still doing what he has always done. Touch his people. And I want to encourage, we want to encourage you today. Listen, don't get in a mindset. Don't believe the lie. If you're sick in your body today, if you need a breakthrough today, let me tell you, Jesus Christ can heal you exactly where you are. In fact, he can heal you during this radio program as you're listening today. Listen up to Sid Roth as he interviews Dolores Winder of the amazing healing that took place in her life.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Dolores Winder, had what I believe is one of the greatest verifiable miracles that I've ever observed. You may wonder what's over here. This is a neck brace that she lived in. This is a body brace that she lived in. Dolores, how long did you live in this?
Well, I lived in plaster Paris once for 7 years. And they would cut sides open and put straps on.
What she's talking about is a body cast that Sid Roth has on his interview desk. And you, again, we're going to make this video available for you on the Torch. And you should see it. It's a cast. I mean, you have, you put your arms out, but she's going to explain that she had a plaster one before that was more difficult. Listen up.
And then finally they started making plastic. And I lived in plastic ones for another 7.5 years.
What is this bump here? On
that's
the
where
bag?
The bone came through the skin and was stuck out. And had to wear a patch on that to keep that from happening.
Okay. Some of you perhaps have never heard of Catherine Kuhlman. I was privileged as a brand new Jewish believer in the Messiah to see her in the auditoriums. And she had such a relationship with the Holy Spirit that she lived for that relationship. And the greatest miracles I ever saw in my life happened there, but the greatest miracle that I know of that happened under her ministry is my guest, Dolores Winder, and I want to take you back in time, and I want you to see this miracle taking place right now. Take a look.
In a body cast for 14 years, 4 fusions, 1 through the front, the other 3 through the back, 2 carotomies to kill the pain. So this side of my body was numb from here down, this side from here down. 2 weeks before I was healed, my husband and I made my funeral arrangements.
You're listening to Dolores Winder. This is a video that you will see on the Torch as she is talking to one of God's generals, Catherine Kuhlman, explaining the testimony of how she got healed. I mean, 2 weeks they were making her funeral arrangements.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a person, you're going to hear more about this. This is not over by any chance. This has just begun. But you're going to see how the power of God touched her in her body.
What you're about ready to have unwind is going to build your belief in God, your belief in the miraculous. Dolores, for those that don't understand, you had a disease that your bones were becoming brittle.
Yes.
Way before their time.
Yes.
When someone reaches a point that they're about ready to die, they're terminal, and their pain is unbearable. They had a surgery back then, which they don't even do today.
No.
It's such a horrific surgery. What was it and what did they do?
It was called percutaneous chordotomy, where they go into the base of the brain through behind the ear, and they burn out the nerve centers. So you can never feel again in the part of the body that they burn the nerve centers out.
Now, you had it on both sides.
Yes.
Which meant that you had no feeling from where? Your waist down?
Well, on my right side, I had no feeling from my neck down. The left side from my waist down.
And there's no reversal.
No.
For this surgery.
No.
I remember her telling us this now. She had surgery. The pain was so excruciating. She was telling us the pain was so bad, they don't even do this surgery anymore. But it was to burn out the nerve cells so that she wouldn't feel anything. So she wouldn't feel the pain, but you couldn't feel anything at all in your body.
Mm.
To think that they don't even do that anymore. So, yeah, I mean, you have
wow.
relief it somewhat in certain levels of pain, but that also means that you can't feel if you're putting your hand on something. Or you, she said she had no feeling from the waist down. This is amazing. I mean, as I'm hearing Sid Roth interview her, I'm just remembering sitting on that couch, the presence of God, and how she would just share what God has done in her life. I'm telling you, when you share the testimony of what God has done in your life and what God has done in the lives of others, there's an anointing that's present for that same thing even to happen again, and more so because faith is building up. I want you to listen up.
Never in the history of the world has it ever been reversed until that night when she went to the Catherine Kuhlman meeting. Now, Dolores loved God, but did not believe in miracles for today. She felt they ceased. And so when the mother of the housekeeper turned on this Catherine Kuhlman show, what did you say to her?
Turn it off.
Why?
Because I came from Pennsylvania. I was always told Catherine Kuhlman was a kook, said she healed people, and that wasn't true. And I believed it.
And what did the housekeeper's mother say to you?
She said to me, what if you're keeping a door closed to God? And I had to respond because at that point, I was waiting for an answer from God for my youngest son.
You see, she had a young son. How old was he, Chris?
He was 14.
He was 14. And she was wondering what was going to happen to him when she died. Because tell me about the orthopedic doctor that was a friend of yours when he told you you were going to die. What did he say?
Well, when he came into the room, they wanted to take me in the hospital one more time, see if there was anything they missed or anything they could still do or anything they could learn to help somebody else. And when they did all this checking and had a new neurosurgeon in to look at me, and he said, it's time to go. The tissues in my back were shredding even, where that bone was through the skin, and they couldn't even patch it. And he came in and sat down, and he said, I said, what's wrong? And he said, Dolores, there's nothing more we can do. And he said, I would give anything in this world to make you well, and there's nothing to be done.
And she heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say to her, Catherine Kuhlman. And she knew somehow that if she went to the Catherine Kuhlman meeting, she would find out, she'd have some peace of mind of what would happen to her son. You literally said to, you had chutzpah, you said to God, what did you say to him?
I told him, I will not die till you show me how you're going to take care of Chris. And he gave him to us. He's adopted.
That's so amazing. Was what you're hearing is a woman that was told there's nothing else that can be done for you. She's suffering. I mean, her bones are shredded, and it's over. I mean, it's absolutely over. And the very answer that God had for her, she didn't even believe at first that she could, you know, that was for her.
All right.
And let me tell you, if you have any thoughts like that, that you could be limiting God. You could be limiting what God wants to do in your life because just like her at that time, she had a wrong mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your mind will limit you. Your thoughts will limit you so much if your thoughts don't line up with the Word of God. It's important that what you believe is true, matches up with the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, it's real. It's real. And Jesus can heal today and will heal today and healed her. And you're going to hear more about how all of this unfolded, but she heard the voice of the Lord. I want to tell you that's how with all abiding is all about. It's hearing his voice and then obeying what he tells you to do. You know, oftentimes people just want a miracle. They want just something to happen. But oftentimes God will lead you step by step and he'll speak to you. And you have to obey every word that he says. And before you know it, you're going to arrive to the miracle, to the thing that God wants to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you're walking in a relationship. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear the rest of this amazing testimony.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you've ever felt there's more month than money and that your paycheck just doesn't cover the bills, it may be time to make a budget. This is John Fuller, and financial expert Dave Ramsey shares some practical ways you can do that on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Every dollar has a mission. Every month, before the month begins, on paper, on purpose, and you agree on it with your spouse. But zero-based means your income is at the top, minus all of these missions, assignments for every dollar. Every dollar has a name until you get to the bottom, and it's exactly zero, which means you have to kind of work on it a little bit to get it to zero out. But you can't have any money that's just kind of laying there, because that money will disappear. You have to tell every dollar what to do, or you will wonder where it went.
Well, making a budget requires some effort, and staying on budget can be hard, but do it today. You can find out how at focusonthefamily.com/finances.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God. I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas,
right? The Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I know
that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, "You know, you have all these players, football players. For those that don't know, it's a football team." And they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl. And So, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team, because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do, mm-hmm. to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do, mm-hmm. to have what they always wanted to have their entire life. Mm. And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm. what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man, mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ, that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this. Mm. But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that. Mm-hmm. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, mm-hmm. and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved, just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris, and we're listening to the testimony of Dolores Winder, a woman who was suffering from tremendous bone erosion, a rare disease that wind up having her in a body cast, before one in plaster, mm-hmm. and then one in plastic, and she had to take that everywhere she went. I mean, she had excruciating pain, so much so that she had this surgery that's not even performed anymore, went through the back of her brain and basically cut off the nerve system, yeah. I guess, where she couldn't feel anything, pain or sensation.
Right.
And she couldn't feel anything from certain part, you know, certain sides of her body. Mm-hmm. And then the lower part of her body, she couldn't feel anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're hearing Sid Roth interview her as she explains, you know, her journey and what happened in her life and how she got healed at the Catherine Coleman meeting. Now, I heard this firsthand from Dolores as I stayed in her and her husband's home while I was ministering in Louisiana. And she's still the same. I mean, let me tell you something. God not only healed this woman, but I saw her in Louisiana paint her house at like at 95 degree weather,
wow.
and at the outside of her house. I
right.
mean, oh my goodness! I mean,
she's not a spring chicken either. Right?
Oh no, she's. I mean, she's older in years,
yeah.
you know. It's amazing what God has done. I mean, just listen up.
And he gave them to us after I was in my first body cast, and then in a brace for several years, and.
So did Chris ever see you normal?
No.
She's talking about
her
son.
He never did.
Okay. So are you you know you have to go to this meeting or this woman you don't care for.
But, you know, I could go because it was a Methodist Spirit, Holy Spirit conference. And I grew up Methodist. And I knew they weren't going to let her do anything out of order.
Okay, so you get in the car to go to this conference. You get out, but you can't get out of the car yourself. So what do you do?
Well, Gail always put me in and took me out. And she couldn't get me out because the pain, this shoulder was deteriorated also, both wrists and all my fingers.
What was going on with your organs?
Heart and lungs were very bad, and my kidneys had started to close off, and that was what was killing me. Yeah. And this man stepped up and said, let me help. Reached in and picked me up and took me in. Gail parked the car and came in, and he took us to seats. And Catherine Coleman came out on stage. And I thought, dear God, I can't stand to look at her. And the Lord said, you don't need to look at her, just listen. And so I closed my eyes and I was holding my head like this. And she said, tonight, I'm going to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Now she's talking to Methodist pastors and lay leaders.
It wasn't a healing service.
No, it was not a healing service. In fact, they made her send her people home because they couldn't have healing. And so I thought, I know the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And she said, if you call him it, you don't know him. And suddenly something happened to me. And I had my eyes closed and I saw a little Kodak slide picture of Chris and a man on our front porch. And the man turned and looked at me and said, tell Chris he need never walk in the house alone. To tell him to take Jesus' hand and walk in, and I'll walk in with him. But my name is Holy Spirit.
And now you felt you had your answer.
I had my answer. I was ready to go home.
She was ready to die, but God wasn't ready for her to die. And Dolores suffered from such a painful disease. Her bones became brittle. When she was 30, the doctors estimated she had the bones of someone in their mid-70s. Her body organs started closing down. The pain was so unbearable. The doctor said, prepare to die. But because the pain was so bad, they did a surgery that's not reversible. They severed the nerves in the brain so that she didn't have any feeling in her body. They did it on both sides. It's something that it's such a horrific surgery. They don't even do this today. No one in the history of the world ever had this surgery reversed in any way possible. So she goes to this Catherine Coleman meeting, and she had one question in her heart. What's going to happen to my young son when I die? And God showed her, and she was at peace. So she's ready to go, but you need help to get out.
Yes.
So what happened?
Well, I said to Gail, let's go. And Catherine Coleman had said somebody had an ear open and people started going up. And I thought, now she's putting on a sideshow. And I looked like I fit in a sideshow and I wanted out. So Gail handed me my cane and I started pulling myself to the edge of the seat so she could get me up. And as I did, my legs were on fire. And I thought, what is happening? And the thought came to me that the bone that was out, the cast was putting pressure on it and making.
You're hearing Dolores Winder share her testimony about how she was coming to this Catherine Coleman reluctantly meeting, mm-hmm. where she said, "I know the method. They're not going to allow her to do anything
right.
here." She didn't count on that God was going to do what He wanted to do.
Right.
You can't quench the. You know, you can't. Push out the Holy Spirit. God's going to do what He wants to do,
mm-hmm.
and He doesn't need our permission.
Mm-mm.
And you think about the great mercy that was extended to Dolores, because
she had
some mindsets.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that just was not going to happen. She had
right.
some judgments, as she's saying
here. Definitely not any faith there.
Think about that. In spite of her, you know, lack of faith, in spite of her judgments,
mm-hmm.
God loved her enough.
God still moved in that.
God loved her enough to do this amazing miracle. You're listening, the mercies of God right now,
mm-hmm.
And she was saying, I'm not going to be a part of this. Get me out of here. I got what I came for. Mm-hmm. Listen, stick around. I know you came for one thing, but God has something else in store for you. Don't be so quick to judge what God is doing. Just be one that says, God, whatever you want to do, any way you want to do it, have your way in me. She had mercy. But let me tell you, that's not always granted for, you know, things like that for everybody.
Right.
She had a great, great mercy extended to her. Listen up, but she begins to say, because she's getting ready to walk out of here, she her pressing thought in her mind, because she resolved that, hey, I'm not going to get physically healed. I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So she's making arrangements for her death. She's seeking God, not for a healing, but she's seeking God for about what's going to happen to my 14-year-old son that we adopted and what's going to happen to him. So she has a vision in the middle of this service, and no healing was supposed to take place at this service. In fact, they sent all the workers home. Oh, God has a sense of humor. And she said, I'm not going to be about no sideshow. Get me out of here. You know what I'm saying? Get me out of here. Listen up.
My legs burned. And wasn't I glad I only wore that 1 hour a day, because Bill would get me up and let me sit up with them for an hour.
The rest of the time you were in the bed.
Yes, the rest of the time I was in bed. And I thought that's what was happening. And finally, a man was down by my seat, and he said, something's happening to you. And I said, my legs are burning. And he said, would you walk with me? And I said, get me out of here. So he got me up, and he said, how can I help you? And I said, if you put one arm around me, and then take this arm, and with my cast, I can shuffle. So we started out. Of course, he felt the cast, and finally he said to me, have you ever had any surgeries? And I said, I had 4 spinal fusions and 2 percutaneous chordotomies. Nobody knew what percutaneous chordotomies were. So if I would say that to them, they wouldn't say anything.
You could get rid of them.
I could get rid of them. And they would say, oh, and that was the end of it. But this man turned me to face him, and he said, you've had 4 spinal fusions and 2 percutaneous chordotomies? And I said, yes. He said, isn't it strange that your legs are burning? And I thought, he knows what I'm talking about. But I wouldn't answer him. I just said, yes. We went out to get to the lobby, and he said to me, you can take your cast off if you want to. And my instant reaction was, dear God, these people are dangerous. I never saw me before and telling me I can take my cast off. And I looked at him, and I saw something. I didn't know what, but I saw something in him. And finally, he said to me, do you want to take it off? Sometimes people aren't willing to get healed. But I said, I've been in one of these things over 15 years, and I'm dying. And he shook his head, and I knew he knew. And I said, yes, I would want to take it off. He had me in the women's restroom with Gail in there helping me out of the cast, had the neck brace off, and he went out while she got this off me. And when he came back in, she said to me, is something happening? And I said, no. She said, this isn't like you. I started to fasten my cast back up. But when that man stepped in the door, I knew he knew something. And I said, get this off me and get me to him. And he carried me out, and he and an usher carried me up onto the platform. And Catherine was waiting for him.
Let me interject something. What you don't know is this man that walked up to this Dolores wasn't even supposed to be at this meeting.
That's right.
He was a medical doctor, and he felt God told him to go to the meeting because he had a word of knowledge for one person. And although there were, what, 1,000 people
3,000.
There? 3,000 people. He walks directly up to Dolores. This was the one that God had selected. The reason he knew about the cardotomy is because he was a medical doctor.
That's right.
That's why it didn't amaze him. But wait till you find out what happened when she takes the cast off and goes on the platform with Miss Coleman.
It was interesting, as she's sharing her testimony, he asked her, do you want to take the cast off?
Yeah.
And I'm reminded of, you know, the man that was sitting on his mat, and Jesus asked, do you want to be well?
Yeah.
And he's like, what are, you know, That sounds like such an outlandish question. I mean, I've been sitting here on this mat for 15 years.
Right.
Do I want to get well?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's part of faith. It's part of being healed. I mean, at a certain point, faith starts to get activated. You got to ask, do you want this? Do you want to be healed? There's sometimes that people have become so sick and so in their pain that they've become their sickness. They've owned it. It's become a part of them. And they can't see living outside of the illness. They can't see living outside of that bondage or the place that they're in. And I'm going to tell you, it requires faith. So he asked you, do you want to take it off? You got to want to be healed. You got to want to get out of the situation that you're in and allow God to move, because he's invited.
So if you just came on, Dolores had this horrible, horrible disease. She was given a death sentence. They severed her nerves, so she had no feeling. They don't even do this type of surgery today. And this doctor walks up to her, has a word of knowledge, tells her to take this off. This is a body brace and a neck cast. Mm. She takes it off. I'm still amazed you took it off, Dolores. And they carry her up to the platform where Miss Coleman is there. And what happened next?
Then she said to me, walk. And I said, I can't walk. And I had very little voice because the second cordotomy, when they went through the throat, paralyzed my vocal cords.
Mm.
And I didn't think she heard me when I said I can't, because she said again, walk. And I pushed my foot out to show her I couldn't. Came up off the floor. It came down on the floor, and I thought, I feel the floor. No, you can't feel the floor. But I had to get the other foot out because the men had not moved up, and my body was so crooked I knew if they let go of me I would fall. So I pulled the other foot up, and it came off the floor. And came down, and I thought, I feel the floor. No, you don't feel the floor. You can't feel the floor. And suddenly I felt in my fingertips started going up. And they said, I was looking at my hand, and it got up so far, and I started screaming, I can feel, I can feel. She told me to walk. She had no idea what was going on. I ran on the platform, came back, and she said to me, bend over. And my doctors could only bend me so far. And I started to bend over and realized I was free. I could bend. And I touched the floor. And there was a doctor from Dallas sitting on the platform. And he didn't believe any of this. And he said, suddenly a hush fell. And he looked up and he saw my body straighten. And he said, if that doesn't make a believer out of you, nothing will.
In other words, he saw your body crooked and could see it straighten before his very eyes.
Yes. And he said, and the next year he introduced us at the Methodist Holy Spirit Conference. But I was in shock because I didn't believe anything like this.
They tell me that you ran. And you don't remember it.
No.
How could you run? How could you do that, Dolores?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this great miracle occurs. She goes home in a state of shock. I have to ask you, what did your son, that was so important to you, your adopted son, say when he saw you?
He ran out to the car, and I was getting out of the car by myself for the first time he ever saw that happen. And he picked me up and started carrying me across the street, screaming, you were healed, you were healed. But before we went, we had an incident where he said to me, Mother, you're going to be healed. And I said, no, honey, that doesn't happen. And I'm not coming home any different than I'm going, but I will have an answer for you. Do you understand that? And he said, yes, ma'am. And I jokingly say that was my last Methodist Presbyterian Sunday school lesson. Miracles are not for today.
How about the doctor? What was his reaction?
He was so amazed. He was waiting for a phone call from Bill to say that I had died. Mm. And when he walked in the room, I told him, don't tell him I'm here. When he walked in the room and saw me, he said to me, what's happened? He said, you look different. What are you doing? And I said, I want you to check me. And he started checking me, and he got me up on the table, and I could turn over by myself. And he started running his hands down my spine, and he said, it's straight. And this shoulder was so bad that he couldn't touch it before. And he was pressing on it and said, is that hurting? And I said, no, it's not hurting. And finally he looked at me and he said, I suppose you want me to use the pin too? And I said, yes. And he barely touched my foot. And I said, it's sharp. He said, all right. He said, that's all. Tell me what happened, but let me sit down. And he sat on his stool and the tears just dripped. And I said to him, Van, tell me another way this could have happened. And he said, there is no other way. This is truly a miracle of God, and you have work to do for him.
I would like you to see her husband, Bill, in his own words, describing the worst state that Dolores was in and the change.
She was in the, we were in the kitchen, and she was beating her fist upon the wall, saying, Lord, why don't you take me? Last they weighed her, she weighed 73 pounds. And I'm sure at the time of healing, she weighed less than that. She was one, though, the fact she got these percutaneous choroidotomies, they go into the base of the spine and they kill all the nerves for the feeling of your body. When she got that, she was able then to maneuver a little bit more than usual. I never did this to the sense had to carry her. I had to assist her in and out of bed and so on. We had a hospital bed, and they thought when she got the percutaneous choroidotomy that she was naturally going into a wheelchair and that was it. And the type of person she is, she wouldn't accept that. So she would, in fact, she around the house, she'd push a chair around. She walked like a spastic person at first because she could not have any feeling. She didn't know where her legs were. In order to move one leg, she had to look down and see which one was forward in order to move the other one. So, but I to say which is the worst time, I don't know. It was all pretty traumatic. She, I guess the first thing I really noticed was her back was straight. It had never been because her one leg was an inch and a half shorter than the other because the hip had crushed up. And she's the only person in this world that we know that was healed of percutaneous choroidotomies. It's an irreversible process.
Well, Bill had a brand new wife. In fact, she was so new that she would start teaching Bible studies. And one of the things she disliked about Catherine Coleman was when Catherine Coleman would touch people, the Spirit of the living God would be so tangible, it would literally push that person over and they'd fall to the ground. Dolores, what happened at your Bible study?
We got a phone call. Someone was in the hospital in critical condition. Would we pray? We started praying. And I knew I didn't want to touch anyone because my hands were hot.
Why were your hands hot?
I didn't know yet, but I understood that I didn't want to touch anyone when my hands were hot. And this woman had trouble getting up, and I went to help her up. And when I did, I brushed against another woman who fell over her. And then I stepped back and brushed against somebody else, and they fell. And then going out the door, I had a woman in a wheelchair, and I didn't know what had happened, but as I was going out the door, I brushed against her, and she fell out of the chair. And I was shook.
She was taken by surprise by this ministry.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I remember her telling us that Catherine Coleman would invite her to go out there and minister with her in different places, because not only did she get healed, but she started testifying everywhere. She was, had invitations to go everywhere. And what she was feeling, it's the heat in her hand, the anointing, the power of God in her hand. But she had no grid for this up until this point. So she is brushing up people, and they're falling out all over the place, and she has no idea.
She's trying to get out the door.
What's going on? Yeah, listen up.
Now, all these people at this Bible study that are falling down under the power of God, Dolores is very reluctant on all this. She wanted, did you put your hands in your pocket? So they
I
would
did.
Be, I believe
did.
You did that.
I did.
And so she doesn't know what's going on. She then finds out all these people are being physically healed, and over the year, you see, I believe Dolores Winder received the same anointing that Catherine Coleman received. I believe that the miracles of Miss Coleman are the same miracles that occur with Dolores Winder, and she has put together keys of knowing the Holy Spirit like Miss Coleman did, keys of understanding healing that are vital. It's almost been lost to this generation. Not almost, it has been lost to this generation. So the question I have for you is, do you know the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you, Miss Coleman would say, I don't want to even go on a platform without his presence being on me.
What you're hearing is a testimony of Dolores Winder that Sid Roth was interviewing her. And it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing testimony. This is the power of God to touch someone's life past their ability to even believe that God can do such a thing. And he blew her away.
And he still did it.
And he still did. Healed her, touched her in her body. I mean, straightened up her back. There were so many connecting parts. I think about the medical doctor who's not even supposed to be at this conference, but because he heard the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
He heard the voice of the Lord, and what else did he do? He obeyed.
That's right.
I mean, it's not just enough to listen.
Hear and obey.
Exactly. And so he shows up and has his word of knowledge and delivers his word of knowledge. And listen, when God's doing something in your life and he's doing a miracle, it's not just for you, but it's for every single person that's going to come in contact with the testimony of what God did in your life. It's all the other people that you're going to tell and share and testify to that I was once blind, but now I see. I was sick, and now I'm healed. I was paralyzed, and now I'm moving. You know, and it's God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God. I want to tell you that we have even seen signs and wonders and miracles in our own midst. I mean,
right.
I think about the woman that had a brain tumor. I believe right. It was the size of a grapefruit.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. She was terminal. They said there's nothing else they could do for her.
Mm-hmm.
And God spoke to her, and she went and had an MRI done after having this dream 7 different times. And it was gone. Yeah. It was completely gone.
No sign of it whatsoever.
No sign of it whatsoever. Plus, I mean, she had received prayer and prayer, and and God did it. And the tumor that was the size of a grapefruit.
Yeah.
It was an orange, navel orange.
An orange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. It was gone. Absolutely gone. It was a tumor. It was out.
Yep.
And Jesus healed her. I think about the woman, again, in our midst that we've seen that had a stage 4 breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was healed.
That's right.
Absolutely healed of cancer. I think about what we've seen of people being delivered from all sorts of demonic spirits. Jesus, part of Jesus' ministry was a deliverance ministry. He dealt with demonic devils and told them to get out in the name of Jesus. And these signs will accompany those who believe, right? They will cast out demons. Listen, we've seen them come out.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them come out and people be set free and be in their right mind. The fact, I mean, we even have a testimony. You can listen to it on VFN radio of woman being set free from a spirit of fear.
Yeah, totally delivered.
Totally delivered, and you can just hear the liberty in her voice as she shares how she was tormented by that spirit and how it so much controlled her life, but she was absolutely set free. I think about the man who was on his deathbed, and he received prayer, and they were making arrangements for his funeral. And Greg gets a call back and say, listen, he's sitting up in his chair. Forget the funeral arrangement thing.
It's off.
It's off. He's well. He's not going anywhere. Right. He's going home.
He's planning a fishing trip.
That's all right.
And he was planning a fishing trip. I want to tell you that God is doing an amazing thing in this day and in this hour. Listen, miracles are for today. Healing is for today. Because God wants to show himself strong on behalf of of all men. I mean, this is what God is doing. Don't count God out. Count God in. I mean, this is just one amongst many miracles, but this is what happened for Dolores Winder. And let me tell you that if God can do it for Dolores Winder, and if God can do it for all the people that we just mentioned, and there's so many, he can do it for you, and he can do it through you. Mm-hmm. You just have to be open and willing. Mm-hmm. And I think about just all, just it's amazing. But this is what God is doing, and this is the joy that we have in the Lord, that God not only saves us and you know, and delivers us, but He can bring healing to our physical body. And mm-hmm. and you may be sitting today and you're listening and you have a physical ailment. You are shut down in your body. You're sick. You know, the doctors maybe have given you a bad report. Well, let me tell you, the doctors only know so much. I mean, we respect the doctors and their profession, but they're practitioners. They're practicing medicine, and they don't have the final word. God has the final word, mm-hmm. and God can heal you right where you are. I know someone that they were diagnosed with 1 month to a year to live. 1 month, doctor said, stage 4 cancer, and we believed God, and not only did they not pass in 1 month to a year, but they lived over a decade healed of cancer. Wow. And they had host of other medical conditions on top of that. Wow. That would have done anyone else in. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you that God is getting ready to do things that are getting ready to really blow our minds away.
Oh, I know.
And you just want to be in it. You want to be ready. You don't want to sit in the back seat, but you want to say, God, you know, would you do that for me? Mm-hmm. If you're sick in your body, God, would you do that? Yes, God can do it for you. In fact, would you speak healing to you right now? Yes. In the name of Jesus? Yes. Be healed. Mm-hmm. Be healed in Jesus' name. And God wants to use you. Like, why not you be the next Catherine Coleman? Why not you be the next Dolores Winder? Why not you say, God, I want to be used in the ministry of healing. I want to be used in leading people to a saving knowledge of you. I want to be used to teach people the word of God. I want to be used, God, to disciple believers, to help people to get strong in the faith and to have an abiding relationship with you, that they can actually know you, not just know about you. Listen, God is calling the family of God together to do a great and amazing work. Will you be ready? Will you be one to advance the kingdom of God? Will you be one that will answer the call to say, I want to go into all the world? I've read it. Mm. I read the Great Commitment. Great Commandment. It's a great commitment too. But right. I have read the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and I want to be a part of what God is doing in these last days. I'm telling you, get excited because it's going to be absolutely beautiful. Mm. This is today. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of the Lord. Could be for you at any moment. But while you still have life in you, give yourself 100% to the things of God. Make Him the Lord of your life. And be used to advance His kingdom.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.